I was kind of thinking this afternoon, just trying to figure out what's happening tonight and what should I share with you guys. And so I feel like I'm going to share something. It sounds a bit strange, but I'm in the process of releasing a book. It's in about a month from now. And just speaking to leaders tonight, I feel like kind of the heart of the book is what I want to try and capture in a couple of minutes with you guys. The book was about it's about my, like, a bit of a personal journey for me. Like, we, you know, I got born again in 2006. And everything in my life happened really fast. You know, like, really, really fast. So, and it's just the grace of the Lord. It's not, no reason, I don't know why, you know, people ask, why do you think? I don't know, you know, I don't think it's my fault, if I can put it like that. And what I mean is there's nothing that I could add to it. It's the Lord's process in your life, you know, and that's kind of the way it is. And so things accelerated quite fast. You know, in 2006 I got born again, and 2007 I started preaching for the first time. 2008 I'm the young adult leader in church, and, you know, nation starts opening up and miracles are happening and things are just kind of exploding, you know, in a very short period of time. In February of 2009, I saw my wife-to-be for the first time. You know, it's kind of funny because I was completely not thinking of marriage at all at that point in time. I was just like 100% focused on ministry and missions. You know, I was like a bit of a zombie in a good way, just like, you know. And so I saw her, and she had a health issue. So I got to pray for her, and the Lord healed her, which was really kind of cool because I think he knew I needed help, you know. So he's just like, I'm just going to heal her. So she gets healed so that we have something to talk about, you know. So she comes again, and that was it. I mean, I prayed for her. She got healed. We had a 2-minute talk. I saw her one more time after that, and I didn't think a thing. I was like, you know, and she's like, I just want to tell you I got healed. I'm like, oh, that's great, you know, yay. And not that I didn't think she's nice, I was not thinking of marriage. And then in, you know, March of that year, I go to India, and the Lord speaks to me. I arrive on the airport. My host goes, okay, are you married? I'm like, no, not, but it's overwhelming. India is overwhelming, right? And it's, you know, people and flowers and posters of me in the airport, and I'm going, this is awkward, you know, I'm actually shy. and then my host goes, are you married? I'm like, no. He's like, do you want to be married? I'm like, well, yeah, but like, it's like, because we can organize stuff. I'm like, no. Anyway, and he's like pushing, he's being, no, we're still good friends. And he's pushing, you know, and the next minute he goes, he's like, but do you have like a special friend or somebody in your life, you know? And without hesitating, I say her name, Maurice's name, and her name pops out, and I'm going, what in the world just happened? So I'm like shell-shocked. I'm going, okay, and I'm just trying to be cool among the people here, because I'm not, you know, I finally get to my hotel room, I'm like, Lord, what on earth just happened? And he's like, now you can take her out for coffee. And I didn't do the coffee thing with ladies one-on-one, you know, when I got born again, because I just knew I would mess it up. And so when he said, you can take her for coffee, I'm like, okay, you know, I know what he's saying. She's the one. And that was March. So in April, we went for coffee. And then November, we got married. You know, so again, fast. Everything is fast, right? And then we had 3 children in 3 years. Like everything is fast. Like, it's just, it's a wild ride, you know. And in the midst of that, we hit a wall, like in big time. And unfortunately, it's my fault. I can't blame anybody about it. It was my decisions. It was just stuff that we didn't take care of in the midst of all of this awesomeness that the Lord is doing. And the reality is that, you know, I got faced with this thing that you're going to lose everything. You know, you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your ministry. And the same for her. And I go, okay, you know, this is a problem. And I think why I'm mentioning this to you guys as leaders is just we're in leadership, right? And God is doing stuff, and He's using us, and it's awesome, or He's going to use you, or He's going to accelerate you, all of these things. But some things are not automatic in the kingdom, okay? the fact that I've stepped into the kingdom doesn't mean I get all the benefits and the protection of the kingdom automatically. Do you understand? Some things are, it's a walk with the Lord, it's a journey with God, and it's something that you need to, Faisal, wave at me when you feel it's time. Like, it's something that you need to actually focus on to make sure that your life is intact. And suddenly I'm, you know, in this situation, and you go, how in the world did we end up here? How did this happen? You know, like, we love the Lord. Everything is awesome. You know, it's like there's a song, I think, Lego. Everything is awesome, you know. The Lego movie. My kids now know their age, all right? So, everything is awesome. I mean, miracles are happening. Souls are coming in. It's amazing what God is doing. You know, people are driving for hundreds of kilometers to come to our teachings. You know, it's profound what the Lord is doing. And suddenly you go, okay, you know, we've hit a wall here. And in this I'm going, you know, by the grace of God, we get through it. Everything is okay. It's wonderful. But in it I'm going, okay, so, you know, I love God. I love my family. All of these things, I'm doing my calling, I'm doing all of this stuff, but what is missing? You know, what is the missing thing in all of this? And so I'm kind of on this journey and going, Lord, you need to teach me because, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to finish well. You know, I want to run well now, but also want to finish well. I want to be able to stand before Him one day and He can look at the testimony around my life and the testimony around my life is pleasing to Him. You know, not just my works or... Because who knows that I don't think God is as impressed with the miracles that He does through us than that we are impressed with Him. Do you? Because it's very normal for Him. You get what I mean? It's not like God's going, oh wow, that was a good one. And I really struggled to raise that one from the dead. Boy, oh boy. Like, He's like, well, we raise the dead. That's what we do. You know, we prophesy. That's what we do. We dream dreams because, hey, it's a gift from me, by the way, Him. And you are the recipients of it. You freak out and raise people up to a level and elevate them, but it's not the Lord's heart, right? And he's looking at a testimony in our life, and it's not like He's going to go, oh man, that was so cool when you raised that person from the dead. It was like, that was me, buddy. What was cool is how you gave me the glory for raising the person from the dead through you. What was awesome is the way that you sought me for that gift and you really poured out your life. And when you got the gift, you spent it on people to advance my kingdom and you didn't do it to enrich yourself. You know, so what does He look at and how do we do this thing? So I'm on this journey and so we've had some interesting manifestations around us, like, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. So we've had weird manifestations, signs and wonders, you know, like oil appearing on people's hands. And we had some of that last night, and you had like gold dust appearing and just kind of stuff happening, you know. And in that time, some of it was happening, but one that I've never seen before is where feathers would manifest. You know, that was something I always wanted to see it. My friends were seeing it. I'm going, oh, I want to, you know, I don't know what it is, shadow of your wing, but whatever. I just want to see it. If it's available, I want to see it, right? So I'm sorry if this is not working for you. It's just the way I am, right? If I see it's happening in the Lord, then I'm going, if you can do it through vessel, then what's the difference between us? Surely there is no difference. Same blood. Yeah, same Holy Spirit, same book, you know. So if you can do it through Him, then you can do it through me. So anyway, so I'm going and I'm kind of on this journey. Our kids are young. So I'm sitting in my office at my in-law's house. My office used to be there. And I'm just spending time in the Word. And I'm just praying, just spending time in the Word. And the next minute, this little favor just manifests right in front of me. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. I'm so excited about the favor. Yeah, the windows are closed, doors are closed. No, none of these jackets. I'm like, yes, finally it's happened. You know, I'm like, yeah, awesome. Anyway, yay, now we forget about it. That's kind of the weird thing about it. You know, life goes on. Then a month later... Or it was not even, it was like in that stretch. The next day I'm changing you know, the next moment I'm changing Ben, my middle son, I'm changing his diaper. Not spectacular, but changing his diaper on the bed. Also, no, it's, you know, summer, there's no weird stuff. And as I'm changing his diaper, this favor just kind of manifests right in front of, and I'm thinking, this is the weirdest place, but yay, you know, it's awesome, right? It's just weird. And then I'm on a missions trip with David Hogan and them, so I'm part of his team. We're going to Mozambique with Iris Ministries. My father-in-law is there with me, and we're way up north. And we're going to do an outreach there. We're inside the tent again. No, I mean, it's Mozambique. Nobody's got thick jackets or anything like that. We close the tent, and the next minute, again, a favor manifests right in front of me. And I'm going, oh, this is so cool. But I'm a knucklehead. You know, I'm just excited about the manifestation, and that's it. Long story short, it's my birthday. And my wife says to me, you know, why don't you go and spend the night in the guest house? And because it's crazy, baby, like, we're not sleeping, you know. So she said, just go to a guest house, just go on a retreat with the Lord for a night. Wouldn't you like to do that? I'm like, yeah, that'll be awesome, you know. Anyway, so I go there, and I got my journal, and I like to do that. Every now and again, I'll sit and I'll just think of every miracle that the Lord did in the last year. I'll just start writing, you know, just writing it down. And I'm just taking the time. I'm just going. And then I finally get to the favors. And I'm like, you know, and these three favors manifested. I'm like, yay. And as I'm writing it, the Holy Spirit goes, where did it happen? I'm like, well, you know. I'm like, well, it was happening when I was spending time with you. It was happening when I changed Ben's diaper. And it was happening when I'm on outreach in Mozambique. And I feel the Holy Spirit go, what do those things represent? And I'm like, okay. And he's like, it's intimacy with you, it's family, and it's calling, mission. And the Lord goes, there you go. And suddenly this thing started happening in my life where I just realized these things were all part of the journey, but it's like the Lord showed me that this is like a three-stranded cord in your life. You know, Ecclesiastes 4:12, whatever. It says a three-stranded cord that cannot be broken. And as the Lord started just journeying with me about if these areas in your life are actively in place, then you're going to stand strong in the end. You know, if I can have a life that intimacy with Him is key. You know, it's the key. There's nothing, that's actually the main one. There's nothing, you know, much outside of it. But who knows that I can be intimate with the Lord but neglect my family? Right? And who knows I can be great with family but then I neglect calling? Or I can be great with, you know, family and calling but I don't spend any time with the Lord. Or I'm just bad with all of them. You know? And the minute that one of these things falls apart in my life, I become vulnerable. And that's kind of the journey that the Lord started getting me on. Is like, how do we sustain what He's doing in our life with a testimony in all three of these areas? Because if we can do that, I'm telling you, we're going to stand strong in the end. And we're going to stand before the Lord with a testimony in all three areas. You know, for a long time, I don't know if you ever heard that teaching. I heard it, and maybe you, that's okay if you want to go with it. I've despised it always. That I don't know, I didn't even have a family, but then that thing that always came and said, you know, God first, then family, then ministry. I never liked it. Something about it always just made me feel, I don't think God works like that. Because God is not a 1, 2, 3. I don't know about you, but the way He works with me is not step 1, step 2, step 3 equals this. That's not the way He works. He's like, I'm going to spit and make mud and you're going to see. And the next guy I'm going to do something completely different with. And hey, I'm going to put a snake on a stick, like I said this afternoon, and that's going to be awesome. And then the next minute we're going to crush the snake because he's horrible. So I don't know about you, but it's not that simple. And yet, because it puts pressure on you in terms of, okay, God first, obviously that's right. But now family and then calling. Okay, but what if calling does need priority now? Because it happens. But, you know, so what if family needs priority now? So how do you juggle this stuff and keep it together? And I think one of the greatest revelations that came for me is that it's not that way. It's God first, family, and calling. are equally important before the Lord, and He's going to judge us on all of those. He's going to judge me on, did you do what I called you for? And He's going to judge me on, did you do what I call you for in family? Is your marriage healthy? You know, is your children healthy? And your calling, is it healthy? And at times it's going to be that family needs greater priority because they just need it. And at times it's going to be that ministry needs greater priority because it just needs it. And the freedom and the balance in it is the fact that I'm walking in intimacy with the Lord. And the more I become like Him, that's why I was talking about this stuff all weekend, the more I start looking like Him, the more this balance becomes a natural outflow out of my heart, because I'm starting to catch His heart for my wife, for my kids, and for my calling. And I'm not burning bridges on either side. Because trust me, we can burn them down like that. You know, I've got a heck of a long journey ahead with children, so hear me when I talk about that. I'm fearful when I talk about it, because I can just talk from where I'm at right now. You know, there's a journey ahead. But the reality is, if I get all of these in balance, I'm going to be healthy, and we're actually going to have a healthy church. You know, I don't know if you've noticed how many world-renowned church leaders has fallen in the last 1 or 2 years. It's scary. It is scary. Like, international church movements, and you go, what? Like, the guy that you thought, surely he's almost perfect. And then you go, what? And then you start listening to their stories a little bit, and you start reading it, and you go, wow. Okay, so number one is, intimacy got thrown out of the window way back. I mean, you're just running on gifting, which is frightening, because we can run on gifting and get very far. Hello? We can run on gifting and do a lot, which is frightening. Right? And now when intimacy is gone, suddenly family is a mess. And marriages are falling apart. Listen to me, I personally feel like one of the greatest ways of spiritual warfare at the moment is to do family well. I'm serious. Because the onslaught on family is on a level that we haven't seen. I mean, the LGBTQ stuff, just the demonic, it's just demonic and perverse what's happening. Right? And it's liberal, and we are liberal, and we're just, and I'm like, whoa, you know, we've got to pull this thing together. You know? It's like, it's awesome that you're gifted and, you know, you can sing in whatever key and free flow worship and all of that's brilliant, fantastic. How's your wife? How's your husband? How's your children, mom? Dad? You know? We're running all over the world, but, you know, what's going on with family there? Is there any relationship or not? And how is your calling? Are you actively doing that? Because listen to me, if you withdraw from calling, something inside of you dies. And you become a David that sits on a roof when kings should be out at war, and you start noticing naked ladies bathing on the roof. Well, what the heck was she doing on the roof? And anyway, I don't get that either, but that's just weird, right? But that's the issue. And suddenly, weird stuff starts happening because you're not where you're supposed to be. David was out of place in that season, 100%. We need a war. All of us. We need a battle. You need a battle as a Christian. You need something that you're fighting for in the kingdom. You're wired that way because of who He is. If you're not having a war, if you're not having a spiritual fight, a kingdom battle right now, find one. Find one. Right? Get something that you have a burning heart for, that the Lord has spoken to you about, and do it. Because you need that outflow. You were made for that. If it's business, then business. If it's being the most anointed, awesome teacher at a primary school, then please be that. If it's being the best mom in the world right now, then be that. Doesn't really matter. But you've got to see calling. You've got to see where you hand out stuff. Because as you give, you receive. Right? As you give, you receive. As you hand out, you are refreshed the whole time. And when we fail on that, we become critical, overweight Christians in the spirit, and we're just, we're not nice to be around, trust me. Right? I know you've never met any of those. I have. They're not nice to be around. Like, they're always complaining about something. Right? Why? Because you don't have a mission in life. You're bored. It's true. Right? And when you're bored, you're dangerous. You're not doing well for the world around you. And that's not good. Right? There's always something to do in the kingdom. If it's serving in the house, then serve in the house and do it as unto the Lord. Whatever, but find an outflow for what is inside of you. Right? The only difference between, my opinion, let me say it like this. The only difference between guys on a pulpit and guys who's not on a pulpit, not that this is the goal, it's just somewhere in life I had to go, I'm going to do something. And then I did it and I just didn't stop. You know, the only difference between the guy who started a business or has his own business or who's a leader in the business is somewhere he went, okay, I'm going to do something. And he just never stopped doing it, right? Other people are still going, maybe one day I'll do something. No, do something, right? Do something, even if it doesn't matter, just start. Because that keeps you grounded, right? You know, okay. Let me find my words so that I'd be careful about what I'm saying. So there was a phase in the church, well, the churches that I was in, where things got really kind of interesting around just mystical, spiritual stuff. I love it. I'm part of it. I'm in it. Don't get me wrong, right? But what kind of happened for a while is that people pulled up the handbrake, and we're all sitting in little groups going kumbaya and engaging whatever in heaven and on earth. And you are so disconnected with the real world out there that you got so weird that flip, nobody can deal with you. You're gifted, yeah, that's awesome, but you don't have a foot on the ground. You're weird. Right? And I'm weird, but I look at them and I'm like, you're really weird. Right? Because you're not grounded. You're not living calling. You're just floating around and I get it, it's awesome, but flip, somewhere the gospel needs hands and feet. Right? We've got to do calling well. And then also, you've got to do family well. Right? I mean, Paul for a reason said, listen, don't be an elder if your family's not in order. I think of that verse and I think, man, probably a lot of issues on national level and international level and business level could have been sorted out if we just applied that principle. You want to be a leader? Can I have a look at your family? And listen, I'm not expecting perfect because, flip, I mean, that doesn't exist, right? I mean, children are children. They're knuckleheads sometimes, even the good ones, you know. But we love them. But they're awesome. But it's a mess. But is there order in your house? Is there a measure of order there that I can go, okay, I can see kingdom in here. I know it's not always perfect and, you know, I'm not expecting little angels sitting there and just not, you know. But is there order? We came from America now. And at some point I'm going, whoa, this is wild. You know, these kids are bouncing off the walls like, what the heck are you? Well, I know what they're feeding them. That's probably part of the problem. But I'm like, what in the world is going on here? It's like just, like I said there, I'm going, oh, Jesus, I need a break. I mean, like, seriously. I'm going to kill an American child. That's what's going to happen to me, right? This is hectic. And that's the church. And you go, whoo, what are we raising here? We're having a service. I love them. I love the people. It's a church maybe this size. It's kind of full. We had about 90 people there. And in this row, there's a group of teenagers. So it's the first time in the history of this church that they do something on the prophetic. It was such a privilege to be there. It was beautiful. Anyways, I'm teaching this church. Amazing. I love them. I know them. They're my friends. You know, they're great. And these teenagers are sitting there, but they are disrupting the evening like crazy. I'm going, oh my goodness, you know, this is bizarre. Just tell them to shut up. I mean, seriously, how hard is it? You know? And nobody does any. I mean, the leaders are sitting there, and I'm going at some point, and, you know, just my way, and I walk over, and I kind of look at them, and I said to them, you need to be quiet now. Right? And I kind of, you know, fuss at them a little bit, and then I go, because you guys need to listen, you're going to get this, right? You guys are going to get this because you're young. You're going to fly in this, you know, trying to encourage them. And when I said it, the whole room, you can feel like, you know when the oxygen goes out of the room? Like the whole room goes, and I'm going, I'm acting like it's not happening, and I'm just carrying on and just being myself and, you know, just preaching and going on. But I know exactly what happened. I stepped on the holy cow called children. Yeah. Please just don't correct the little things. Really? Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, can we get some just order back, you know, with these things? I mean, the kids can't even sit still around the dinner table without disrupting the whole house. I'm going, how is that? How did that happen? You know, I don't know about you, but some of you are older than me. When we grew up, you sit on those hard wooden benches. It was torture. It was torture. Hard wooden benches. And always that little bend at the back was always at the wrong place. It always got you. And you're like, oh man, this is horrible. But flip, if you moved, Mom would just get you on the bum and just kind of squeeze, you know, that Afrikaans way without showing any emotion. Just, and you're all going, ah, and we survived. Look at us, right? We got through it. But heaven forbid that you do it now. I mean, oh, you know, just for poor little things. Do you want to go to church, honey? The five-year-old. What the hell? Well, we're asking 5 years old if they want to go to church. Or teenagers. They don't want to go to church. You know that. You didn't want to go. Does it matter if they want to go or don't want to go? No, it doesn't. Take them anyway. I don't care if they want to go or not. They don't want to eat vegetables either. So what? You're going to eat them. Right? But we lack in these things, and we don't have relationship in family. We don't have relationship, you know, in terms of calling. And we start falling away. And listen, if calling and family falls apart, intimacy with God goes. Because you're overwhelmed. The order is gone. But when intimacy with God is good, it's like these things flow easier, but you must focus on them. You've got to invest in marriage. You've got to invest in family. You've got to invest time in this stuff. And I'm mentioning this to you guys, because I know it's a bit of a different message maybe. I see I've got to finish. But here's the thing. If we want healthy church, right, how is that going to look unless there's healthy families coming to church? Unless we have healthy individuals rocking up that is actually on a practical level just saying, I've got to build kingdom into my life. You know? Like, how do we govern this stuff in terms of these areas? I look at my, you know, our people in the villages there, beautiful people, no fathers. They're not, I don't know where they are. No fathers, which is okay. There's single mothers. I get that. That's fine. But then I look at the single mothers, I'm going, the stuff that they let the kids watch on TV, you go, what in the world? And then all the kids come to us, I know we have nightmares. I'm like, what are you watching? No. Ibewu or whatever. I'm like, dude, I'll have nightmares if I watch that show. It's flipping disgusting. You know, so we're not being that wall of fire. And that's kind of what I want to get to. You know, Zechariah 2 verse 5, it says that he will be a wall of fire around the city of Jerusalem. Remember, it's the walls have come down. And he says, but I will be a wall of fire around them, and my glory will rest on the inside. And this thing started coming to me that I'm supposed to be like my father, right? And here's the point. I've got to create a wall of fire around my family, around my calling, around my time with God. I've got to be the one that sets that boundary with the Lord that says, that will not come in, and we're going to watch what's in here. Boundaries are actually to protect stuff that's on the inside, right? It's not just to protect from the outside, but it's also to keep healthy what's on the inside. You know, I want to challenge you. How often do you guys take a Sabbath? Do you guys do it, or is that not practically applicable anymore? You know? Are we still taking 1 in 7 days off? Because, I'm sorry, God didn't change. You know? And if we cannot, as a family, Sabbath together, like, and what I mean with Sabbath is we do nothing. Like, no activities, no 50 million things to do. We're just together as a family. Just family. We don't have to be anywhere. We don't have to do anything. And people can't do that because some of them don't want to. It's like, I don't want to be with her. She's annoying. She's your wife, dude. And the wife's like, I don't want to be with him. Well, you're together to figure it out. Yeah, but the kids don't want to be with us. Well, why not? And what can we do to change that? Because if we can't rest in the Lord, just rest together as a family, you know, how are we going to prosper? How are we going to prosper? We are so busy. It's insane. It's like it is activities, and it's, I'm going, whoa. And listen, I'm pretty busy. You know what happens when I go home? I arrive home tomorrow in Pretoria, not home. Then I have another service tomorrow night. Then I'm flying out on Monday. Then I get home Monday. Tuesday, I know it's our privilege because we homeschool. Tuesday is Sabbath. We already, it's booked in our diaries. Boom. Nothing happens on Tuesday. My people know it. My office knows it. I'm sorry, I'm not available. Then on Thursday, and then on Wednesday and Thursday, I'm running like crazy because Friday I'm flying again. And then next week, Monday, I'm back again. And then Tuesday again, poof, 1 out of 7. Right? And listen, I want to tell you something. We didn't do it for long. This started about 3 years ago that the Lord spoke to us about Sabbath. And the minute that we did it, it transformed our lives. My energy is better. There's more peace in the house. We actually feel revived. We actually feel like energized. We're not exhausted the whole time. The rat race is kind of like, and the Sabbath has become like this thing. My kids go, so when do we Sabbath? I mean, they're 10, 9, and 8. And we're like, so when do we Sabbath? So they look because they're going, oh man, I'm so looking forward to it. Why? Because they know they've got my full attention for a day. My wife's got my full attention for a day. Right? It's a silly thing, but that one thing transformed our family. Right? And now I know there's exceptions to every, you know, we're not religious, please, please, please. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. It's okay. But if it doesn't happen more than it does, then you're messing up. Right? If we don't step into this stuff aggressively, because, you know, I have a close friend that fell off the bus big time. Oh my gosh, I love that guy. Such a good guy. I mean, world famous, ministered in 80 nations, wrote I don't know how many books. I mean, oh my goodness, miracles like you cannot believe. Sid Roth, I mean, this guy's the stuff. Oh my goodness, brilliant guy, lovable, like him so much. And then 2 years ago, off. And you go, Lord, how is it even possible? And you know what happens? Is people get hurt, and the name of the Lord gets hurt. And the church gets a bad rap once again. Once again. And we are who we are, and our capacity, our level of influence, whatever, it doesn't matter. But you carry a testimony to people around you. There's people that see you that will never see me of Umkhari. There's family that looks at you that will never see anybody else. And if we are just like the rest and the testimony is to the ground, and what, you know, it's bad. Okay, great, so you're anointed. You move in the gifts, fantastic. But I don't want a marriage like yours. You know what I mean? If people are talking to us like that and go, hey, you guys are weird. Like, I don't want a family like yours. Like, we're the Christians. We should be like the people that they go, oh, I want family like you. And I'm like, I don't want that. I had a friend, she's single, same age as my wife. She's full of the Lord, loves Jesus. She's sitting around a table one day with us. She's in church. She's on fire. She's amazing, man. She's awesome. And she goes, she makes a statement. She says, you know, if I look at my church, and she's not a judgmental person. Man, I wish I could describe her better. She's just beautiful, you know, as a soft, gentle. And she goes, listen, if I look at church, she's 36, she's unmarried. She says, I don't see one marriage in my church that makes me want to get married. And I listened to it and I went, phew, that's not good. That's not right. You know? I'm not saying this to condemn us. That's not what I'm doing. I just listened to it and I thought, ah, Lord, we've got to do better. We've got to do better. Because you know, the biggest multiplication miracle that took place, the first one, was Adam to Eve. You know, rib out, multiply Adam, there's Eve. And with one, you'll defeat 1,000, and two, you'll do 10,000. What's the point? It's supposed to create capacity to do more. If we do it right. Yeah? And I mean, I can tell you more about failing than succeeding as well. So it's like every time I talk about this stuff, I'm like, if I feel the Lord puts it on my heart, I'm like, oh, Lord. Well, let's just talk about it. I don't talk because I've got it figured out. Please don't ever think that's what I'm trying to do, because I don't. But I'm trying. And at least I'm going, this thing really matters, called marriage and kids and legacy. And this thing called calling really matters. And both is important, but I need all of it. I actually need them all to function if I want to fire at my best. And if you're not married, you're single, I'm talking about spiritual family, same principle. You can't function outside of family. You cannot. Dangerous. That's why the COVID talks we just had about people not coming back. Dude, you're setting yourself up. Sorry. You're going to get hit. Sorry, you are. It's like you're that sick little, you know, impala walking. The lion is already watching, buddy. He's already spotted you and he's coming for you. We need family. And we need to do this right. So, I hope I did an okay job at trying to deliver this. But it's kind of just something that's in my heart. It's something that I feel is so important, because I just cannot have another friend fall off. I hate it. Well, Harry, you've been doing this way longer than I. And I think if I ask you how many people you've seen come and go in ministry, it will be probably a scary answer. How many people have started and then just didn't finish because of stuff? And we've got to do better, church. So I want to encourage you tonight to say, prioritize this stuff. You know, make it an effort. How do you create? What do you need for family? Are you guys resting at all in terms of a godly rest day? Maybe you can't have a full day. Can you have at least a half an afternoon or something? Right? We just be together. It's important. It's important. It says of Enoch, I'm going to end with this. Enoch, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And it says, and Enoch walked with the Lord, and by faith he skipped death. And he went right into God, because he had a testimony of walking with the Lord that pleased him. You know, I want to please him in my walk, in every area. In every area. Because when I get home on Monday, the anointing is not going to be like it is now. I'm going to have to cook my own food. You know, and then it's real. Then it's me and my kids and my wife, and I'm going to hear that this one did that and that one did that. I still need to have a testimony, and I'm going to be wasted, right? It's always like that, because I've given everything here. But when I get home, they deserve everything as well. So the switch cannot go off. It cannot. We've got to find a way to sustain this thing all throughout. They must be able to look at me, my wife, and my kids and go, what you see here is real. Because if it's not, what the heck am I doing? It's not worth it. And we can't hit walls again. We can't hit the bump again. Can I pray for you? Is that all right? Stand, please. Man, I did well. I think that was 40 minutes. So I've got 5 minutes to pray for you. I know it wasn't a command. I know. All right. So what I want to do is I just want to bless you. I want to bless you. You know, if I think about that verse so much, what the Lord blesses, no one can curse. Right? I want to bless you in the area of family. I want to bless you in the area of calling. And maybe you're standing here and family is wobbly at the moment. Right? And I want to pray for you that there would be restoration. Right? If you need, I mean, obviously this is a short talk. We can't get into all the stuff. But if you need to make changes, that you make the changes. Right? If there's something we can do with our children, if there's something you need to do in a relationship, whatever it is, that God's just going to give you grace. Right? And that we will, in humility, go and just say, okay, Lord, I need help in this area. And we get it restored. If there's grace necessary in calling, let me pray for that. Maybe you got sidetracked there. And you realize, man, I became a little bit critical. I've noticed if I become like super critical, I'm probably going like, yeah, you're probably not doing enough. Get busy. Because if you do enough and you get busy, then you go, yeah, no, it's really not that easy, ne? Yeah, I know you would have planted the church much better than I did, but yeah, you didn't. You know, in that sense. Right. So stretch out your hands. And I'm just going to pray over you. Lord, we love you so much. And I'm so grateful that you, your desire for me, your desire for every person in this room is that we will finish well. Thank you that you already made provision in your word, in the spirit, in the anointing. You already made provision for us to finish well in all these areas. Doesn't matter how late in life, how early, doesn't matter how many mistakes we've made, that it's always possible to turn things around. And Father, I want to pray to this over this group of leaders, Lord, that we will be healthy leaders. People that will lead in an example in every single one of these facets. Lord, I want to pray for joy in our marriages. I want to pray for just that we'll enjoy our partner again, Lord. It will just be fun that we will remember why we're together. We will remember that it is for the advancement of your calling, your kingdom, but also just because, well, we need each other. Lord, those that are not married, or whatever the story might be, that they'll find so much fulfillment in the family and the house of the Lord. And that it will be vibrant in this place. And that fellowship would be here that we need, Lord. Lord, I pray for our children and our children's children. Father, I pray that there will be a blessing upon their lives. That something about what we do now in this period will reflect in them, will make them go, I see something in my mom and dad or in grandma and grandpa, and I want what they have. I want what they have. And Lord, I pray just for such grace that we will be whole, that we will be ones that hits the target that you have in store for us. And Lord, that you'll just strengthen us. I pray this for us. I pray this for leaders all over. Lord, healthy churches, because we have healthy people leading it. That's balanced, on fire for you, sold out. But man, that those things will be in place. So Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless their marriages. I bless their children. I bless their ministries, their businesses, whatever it is. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless your fellowship with the Lord in Jesus' name. I bless your times in the Word. I bless your prayer life. I bless your intimacy as a marriage couple. I bless your relationships with your children. In the name of Jesus, I bless your provision that there will be wisdom in it. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom in the name of Jesus. I bless you with the longevity of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.